two iconic American artists, Andy Warhol and Winslow Homer, are featured in major exhibitions at the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, New York this summer. The Late Drawings of Andy Warhol, 1973 to 1987, features 50 drawings, some of which are on view to the public for the very first time. This exhibition has been organized by the Andy Warhol Museum, one of the four Carnegie Museums of Pittsburgh. Homer's America, selections from the permanent collection, presents approximately two dozen works, including engravings, etchings, and paintings that chronicle American life. Both exhibits opened on June 21st and will be on view into September. Our good friend Erin Coe is the director of the Hyde. She joins us now to tell us more. How are you?
I'm very well, Joe. Thanks for having me on the air this morning.
Always lovely to have you here. Okay, so you're with the Hyde, and then you leave the Hyde, and now you're back Hyde.
Can't get away.
No. So you were curator, chief curator.
Yes, for 15 years.
And then you left to go.
I left to work on finishing my doctorate on art history from Boston University, which I've been chipping away at for a while.
Yeah.
And I thought I would take some time off to prepare for my qualifying exams, which I'm happy to say I passed, and then to work on my dissertation.
Excellent. And then this job becomes available?
Yes. So the director, Charles Guerin, resigned in, I believe, early March.
Yep.
And then I was contacted by the Board of Trustees to return to lead the museum.
And here you are.
And here I am. So I accepted the invitation gladly and happily, and I'm privileged to be there and to come to work every day. To advance the mission of the Hyde Collection is something that's just a wonderful thing to do every day. I love art and I love museum work, so the two together is a perfect job.
So I love the story because you've been there a long time, and right. I like and the fact that you sort of go through the ranks and then you end up running the place. That's great. So how much of the work that is showing, just to give me an idea, how much of the work is showing right now, the Warhol, the Homer, did you have anything to do with before you left?
That's a great question. I actually selected the Warhol show right before I left. It was one of my last initiatives, was having that contract signed with the Andy Warhol Museum to secure this show for the summer. Homer's America developed shortly after I left, and was largely developed by the assistant curator, Susan Bishop, at the Hyde Collection. And then I came in and put on the finishing touches and did some of the wall text and, you know, writing of the descriptions of the exhibition with Susan, and oversaw the installation in June. I oversaw the installation of both exhibitions at the Hyde.
Mm. So really you get to see, you know, it gives you another view, but all of this that's coming to fruition, you were aware of, and it's nice that it's now up and about.
Yeah, it's very, you know, I think the beauty of returning to the Hyde is I know the museum so well.
Right.
I know the history inside and out. I'm very connected to people in the community and to our members and our donor base. And so I can enact changes very quickly. I don't have a learning curve, so to speak, to get up to speed, where if they brought in an outside director from elsewhere, there would be a period of time where that person would have to get up to speed. So with me, that's not the case. I can really get in there and start moving the museum forward and advancing the mission.
So let's talk about these two shows. We'll begin with Andy Warhol, The Late Drawings of Andy Warhol, 1973 to 1987, and it features 50 drawings, some of which, and I mentioned this in the introduction, have not been on view before. One of the things that I always find very surprising, there's a Warhol show, of course, over at Williams College as well. This was a man who was incredibly prolific.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And this exhibition really speaks to a very prolific period in his lifetime, and that was the 1970s and the early 1980s. When he returns to drawing, you know, Andy Warhol started out as an illustrator in the 1950s. In the 60s, when he starts making his iconic pop paintings, like the Campbell soup cans that we're all familiar with, Brillo box sculptures and images of Liz Taylor and Marilyn Monroe, What happens is he gets away from drawing, and then he comes back to it, and he rediscovers it in the 1970s. So many of these drawings, as you said, rightly so, are on view to the public for the first time from the Andy Warhol Museum. And from what I understand from my colleagues at the Warhol Museum, many of these drawings were in his private collection. Mm-hmm. They were drawings that Andy Warhol did on a Sunday when the studio was quiet. And he had a chance to, again, revisit line drawings, which is something he was very adept at, very skilled and talented with contour and line. And he had a great sort of expressive quality to his line. And, you know, and that's what the show really is opening up for visitors, is this whole chapter in Andy Warhol history that we didn't even know about.
A stupid question that I want to ask, and that is, difference between drawing and a sketch?
Well, that's a good question. A sketch is generally something an artist produces on site. So
okay.
Think of an artist outside sketching from nature, or if I had a sketchbook right here and I decided to do a doodle of you, Joe.
Okay, right.
You know, that would be considered a sketch.
A precursor to something else.
Perhaps to something else, exactly.
Yes.
Warhol's drawings in this show are not sketches. They are finished works of art in their own right. They are large, so they're not small, which a sketch would, you know, typically could be a small
right.
work in a notebook or a sketchbook. These are large scale works, and many of them relate to series of paintings that he was working on at the same time. And in some instances, with a few of the drawings, he used the lines or the contours to add on or to transfer to his silkscreen paintings. So in the 1970s, what he's doing is he's putting the artist's hand back into his painting through drawing by transferring the lines from these drawings on top of the silkscreen. So in the 60s, where he's getting away as this iconic pop artist from the hand of the artist, wanting to sort of, you know, produce art that looked mechanical and depersonalized, he in the 70s, he's going back to putting the artist's hand, which I think is very interesting.
You set a tone in what you just said of sitting in a studio when it's quiet, that would be a time where this was a leisure activity. It was a more joyful freedom that would come with it, as opposed to quote unquote work.
And I think it reminded him of his childhood. I mean, he grew up sketching around Pittsburgh, sketching his neighborhood and people in his family. And, you know, he went to the Carnegie Institute to study illustration. The basis of illustration is drawing. So he really begins as a draftsman. And so I think you're right. On Sundays in the 70s, when he made these drawings that are on view at the Hyde Collection, I think for him it was reconnecting with his past.
So then let's talk about the Winslow Homer Show. And before we get into that specifically, mm-hmm. do you as the director and formerly as curator of say, oh, when we put these two things together, we want them to have some kind of theme or some way of bridging the two?
Absolutely. And it just so happens there is a great bridge
okay.
between these two artists who seem so disparate. Winslow Homer, hailing from the 19th century, considered one of the great American realists. And then Andy Warhol from the 20th century, from the post-war consumer society of the 1960s. I mean, one would you know, obviously think they were completely different. And yet, there are great affinities between these two artists, and I'll explain why.
All right.
As the show explores, Winslow Homer was one of the great illustrators in American history, and so was Andy Warhol. He was a famous illustrator in the 1950s. So both artists began their careers as illustrators. Homer begins in 1857. He's 21 years old in Boston, and he starts producing illustrations for Harper's Weekly and other, and for the pictorial press, essentially, for other weekly periodicals that used wood engraved illustrations. He doesn't execute his first painting, oil painting, until the early 1860s. Similarly, Warhol doesn't begin painting until the 1960s. So again, both artists, the foundation of both of these artists, separated by 100 years, is illustration and drawing.
So these, the works of Homer that are on display now at the mm-hmm. Hyde, are selections from your permanent
yes.
collection. So is there any, do you look for things then of the specific items that in some way relate to that illustrative history because you want that bridge, or do you just say, no, we're going to go and look at this as a collection of the best things that we have from this artist?
Right, but yeah, the Homer show is selected more around a specific theme. It's called Homer's America.
Yes.
So the engraved illustrations that are featured in this exhibition, there are about 20 on view, all pertain to specific themes that Homer was engaged in as he chronicled American life in between 1857 and 1874 when he was making his illustrations. And those themes include the Civil War. Of course, he's famous for his illustrations of the Civil War, children, farming, heroism and the sea, tourist recreation, and of course, the Adirondacks.
Yes. So let's talk about the Adirondacks, because I assume that that is how the Hyde started this collection in the first place.
Yeah, Mrs. Hyde, our founder, Charlotte Hyde, acquired 51 wood-engraved illustrations by Winslow Homer that are part of our collection. We've added a few to the collection since. Then, in the 1930s, she also started collecting Winslow Homer watercolors in the 1930s. This was a time when Homer's reputation was being revived and rediscovered in New York City. And Mrs. Hyde had an apartment in New York City, and she went to the galleries, and she went to museums, so she was very aware of what was going on in the art world. She acquired three fabulous Homer watercolors, and two of them are on view in the exhibition. Also on view is an oil painting by Winslow Homer that was added to the collection in 1998 as a gift to the museum. And that's titled Adirondack Guide from 1877.
So it is a wonderful representation not only of his work, but of the connection to the area as well.
Absolutely. And to the history of the Hyde Collection and our founder and her taste in Winslow Homer and our continued interest in collecting the work of Winslow Homer.
Does that guide you at all as to even, let's say, the Warhol show as an example of, you know, what would Mrs. Hyde think of this?
I think of that every day when I go to the Hyde. I did that for 15 years, and now as director, I'm doing it even more so. What would Mrs. Hyde do? How do we respect the wishes of the founder? Those are always foremost in my mind, and also drawing connections programmatically between how Mrs. Hyde used her home and her collection and the community today. And I have some great examples of that with some of the programs we're doing this summer.
Tell us.
Yeah. Well, for example, we have a new program called Drop In and Draw every Saturday from 10:30 to 2:30. Our museum educator, one of our educators, offers drawing classes in the courtyard of Hyde House or in the music room or one of the rooms of the house or outside the building. And you can come, anyone can come and draw from the collection. And that is exactly what people did when Mrs. Hyde was alive. She invited them into her home for drawing classes and sketching classes and painting classes. Yeah. So one of the participants in this program commented, she sent me an email because she was so thrilled with it. And she said that she felt like Mrs. Hyde was smiling down at her as they were sketching and drawing in the music room of Hyde House. So when I get notes like that as a director, I can't tell you, that puts a huge smile on my face, it warms my heart, and it makes me believe that what we're doing at the Hyde has a huge impact on our community, is transforming people's lives, is relevant, and can make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And great programs for kids as well. You always do that.
Absolutely.
Beautifully.
Yeah, we have lots of programs for kids. Our summer camps are going on right now at the Hyde Collection, so people can find out more about that by visiting our website. We also have a Sunday surprise every Sunday. Our educators are in the museum sharing fun facts, anecdotes, hands-on demonstrations, art carts, and many more surprising activities for visitors to enhance their visit. And this is geared toward families with children. So come in on Sunday. You never know what the surprise is going to be. We also have, this is great fun, Joe, and I just have to talk about it. We have an Andy Warhol selfie station. He's a life-size Warhol cutout, complete with the wig.
Oh, great.
And so, Joe, you could come to the Hyde and take a selfie with Andy Warhol.
Very cool.
He makes various...
I assume I'd be taller.
Yes, you probably would be. Yes, he would be dwarfed by comparison. But he hides out in various places in Hyde House. And he's been seen downtown Glens Falls as well.
Oh, you
spotted at different
move
events.
Move him around.
Yeah, we move
cool.
him around. Yeah, he gets around town.
That's very, very cool. You know, I have done this with my nieces and nephews, and I started doing it with all of them, and then I decided that it's just a lot more fun to take one individually and then go see different things. But we've headed out for the last several years and gone down to the Hyde for Sundays, and it's always fun and just remarkable. First of all, to see how the different kids react to the stuff, but also
right.
Just how great your staff and the people there are, and how much there is to do and how much fun. And as you say, hands-on, and they come out and they love
yes.
to draw, and it's really very, very cool and special.
And we have a community day coming up, by the way, speaking of children activities,
great.
On August 22nd. And the theme of our community day is based on the Warhol show. Andy Warhol loved his dachshunds, Archie and Amos. So we have a dachshund-themed community day, complete with a dachshund parade, costume parade and contest. And we're going to have face painting. Based on Warhol illustrations for the kids.
That's great.
There'll be
stuff.
Hot dogs, ice cream, and just got to register your dachshunds. We're limiting it to 20 on the.
Only 20 well, dachshunds.
20 dachshunds,
for God's
please.
Sakes.
But it's going to be a great dachshund themed day at the Hyde on August 22nd. So I'm
for
looking forward to
God,
that.
Only 20 dachshunds. The late drawings of Andy Warhol, 1973 to 1987, and Homer's America selections from the permanent collection are in view at the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, New York. It's such a beautiful, special place. You can go to hydecollection.org for more information, hydecollection.org, and I look forward to you. I assume there'll be lots of cool stuff in the fall, and you'll come back and tell us
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. I want to come back and talk about our Audrey Flack show and a great print show, 20th Century American Prints. So.
Wonderful.
Great.
Aaron Coe is the director of The Hyde. It's always a pleasure to speak with you and a delight that you're back. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.